KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, July 22. I'm back. John Ramirez, last day, is gone. And Tyler Whitman is back. There you go. We're changing yet again. We keep reinventing ourselves, don't we? By the way, which I didn't have the opportunity to do because I was tied up in the hospital, July 16th, a week ago, it was 28 years that this show has been around with me behind the mic. That's kind of fun. Wow, how many people weren't even around? You know what I love? People come up to me, young people in their 20s. Oh, Bill Handel, my parents love you. Good God, I don't want to hear that. I go, okay, how about your grandparents? They love you even more. Okay, that conversation is over. Now, I want to share with you what's going on the political front. One of the things that happened while I was gone, and as you know, I'm a news junkie, so I've got Fox and CNN all day, and I go back and forth, and all the various other news outlets, and I read the LA Times, New York Times, Wall Street Journal every day, so I'm kind of fanatic. And as the politics were rolling out, man, was I was screaming at the TV set wanting to talk about it. So something happened over the last couple of days, particularly yesterday, that I want to share with you. And it has to be with the investigating of January 6th. And there was, and the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi said, let's do a bipartisan investigation. Let's find out what happened, why what happened happened. And the Republicans said, no, not interested. It was supposed to be a 5-5 committee, five Republicans, five Democrats. No, the Republicans were not interested. So what Nancy Pelosi did is say, okay, we'll do our own. I'll produce one, but I still want Republicans on it. And turn to Kevin McCartney, who is a minority leader. He is her equivalent, but not the majority. He's not Speaker, which he would be if the Republicans control the House. And what he did is put on two members on that committee, Jim Banks and Jim Jordan. Banks of Indiana, Jordan of Ohio, both Republicans, just solid Trump supporters. Both voted not to certify the election. Both to this day will say the election was stolen. Statements like, it wasn't Trump supporters that, in fact, stormed the Capitol, even though, really? How many Trump flags did you see? How many MAGA? No. It was the Democrats' fault that that happened. And you go, why? How is it possible that it was a Democrat's fault? Well, because the Democrats were paying all the attention to the Black Lives Matter movement, and therefore they ignored the storming of the Capitol. Therefore, it's their fault, not the people who actually stormed the Capitol. And on top of that, the fault lies with the Democrats because the Capitol Police were not there, were not there in numbers, or not there in training to defend against this non-crowd, non-Trump group that did not go in and storm the Capitol and vandalize the Capitol and threaten to kill members of the Senate and the legislature and Congress, screaming, hang Mike Pence, hang Nancy Pelosi. That wasn't really important. It was the Democrats. They were at fault, and the Capitol Police. And Nancy Pelosi, it was in charge of the Capitol Police. Therefore, it was her fault that all this happened. Well, let me give you a reality check. She's not in charge of the Capitol Police. The Capitol Police are selected by the Senate Majority Leader and the Speaker of the House, both of which were Republicans who chose the Capitol, the head of the Capitol Police. It's an independent force, does not report to the legislature, except they're chosen by the House and the Senate. the Speaker and the Majority Leader, both Republicans. And so what ended up happening is that McCarthy, who is the House Representatives Minority Leader, put on Jim Banks and Jim Jordan. And we know what's going to happen because Banks and Jordan are not interested in what happened. They've already said it. They said the problem here are the Democrats. That's who's at fault. Certainly not Trump supporters. They're not at fault. Certainly not those people that, in fact, raided the Capitol. They're not at fault. It's the Democrats who are at fault, and goes through the litany of why the Democrats are at fault. And that's exactly where they would go. And Nancy Pelosi said, okay, you're off the committee. You're done. And so what McCarthy did is say that this is a speaker, and he's right, this has never happened before. A speaker threw off the committee that was supposed to be bipartisan and took her power and said that she would not seat those two. And her argument is, the reason I'm not seating those two is because they've already blamed the Democrats for this. They don't believe the Republicans had anything to do with it. They don't believe that Trump supporters had anything to do with it. And why is that? Well, because McCarthy and Banks and Jordan and others are scared to death of offending Donald Trump. If you are a Republican and you're running for office, and that's across the board, Senate, House, what happens is if Donald Trump says, don't vote for that person, vote for the opponent in the same party we're talking about during the primary, guess what happens? You're gone. And the most important thing, and this is the shame of it, because a lot of legislatures have accused Republicans of this, saying you believe it is more important to kowtow to Donald Trump than it is to do your job in upholding the Constitution. Democracy was not at stake when the Capitol was ransacked. There wasn't a problem. Matter of fact, Donald Trump, in a recent interview, said the Capitol Police ushered in and invited in the demonstrators. Please come into the Capitol. And he said, there's video of that. Well, I've never seen that. By the way, I'd love to see that, because that bolsters the argument, saying, hey, you've got four policemen over there, Capitol policemen, who are telling people, come on in. Come on down. And which curtain would you like to point out? So that is the problem that's going on with this. So it's no longer an investigation of the underlying issue of what happened January 6th. That's all gone. That's all finished. It's now who's at fault? The Republicans, the Democrats, Trump supporters, not Trump supporters. And we'll never get to the bottom of what happened. I mean, we know what happened, of course, but not officially. Officially, there will be no report. And if there is a report coming out with a Democratic dominated committee, it's all politics. It's crap. No, it's not Trump supporters. No, it's not right wingers. Nope. It's not racist. Nope. Nope. None of that is true. Coming up, the nuclear football. Oh, this is a fun story I want to share with you. You know that briefcase they call. And good morning, Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, July 22. Nice to be back. All right, before we continue on with the show, how about your chance to win some bucks?
KFI has your chance to win $1,000.
Text the nationwide keyword
GAME, G-A-M-E,
to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info.
Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
That's GAME to 200-200.
And if you do win, you'll get a phone call from a number you don't recognize. You have to answer it. Otherwise, you haven't won. One of the things, interesting stories about the last days of the Trump presidency and the analogy, the comparison between that and the last days of the Nixon presidency. Nixon was out of his mind during the last days of his presidency before his resignation. I mean, he was drunk all the time, and there are all kinds of stories from pretty, you know, legitimate sources about how crazy he was. And the issue then was, what happens if Nixon, in a drunken stupor and having to resign, unleashes a nuclear weapon? Well, the chief of staff and the entire chiefs of staff of the U.S. military were concerned about the same thing, from what we're hearing and sources that appear to be legitimate, corroborating sources. And that is the fear that Donald Trump, in his last days of the presidency, would unleash, because our enemies, Iran, certainly he wouldn't unleash against China. Maybe he would. I have no idea. But how does a president unleash? There isn't a red button. And the way it works is with the football. And what is the football? Well, the football is a briefcase that follows the president wherever he is. There's a military man, Marine, Army, whatever, who you will always see, if you have a long shot of the president, carrying this briefcase right next to the president or within a very short distance. Inside that briefcase are the nuclear codes, and they have to be authenticated by the president, who has a little card that's wrapped up in aluminum, and it's called the biscuit. And inside the biscuit, there is a card, and it's basically just a card, and it has authentication codes. And both of them have to be corroborated. Now, are there limitations? Can a president just unleash? No, president can't, because this is where the Joint Chiefs of Staff came in. Because had he even said, I'm unleashing a nuclear weapon, the way it works, it doesn't go directly from the president and then goes to the nuclear weapons command, and then boom, there go the missiles. No, it has to go through the Pentagon. It has to go through the Defense Department, who then the order comes from them. And they have the power, the military, the defense, the power, Defense Department has the power to go, no thanks, you're nuts. It's not going to happen. And that's just a backup measure, not giving the president the ability to do that, because in reality, the president does not have the singular ability to do that. In order for the military and the Pentagon to okay it, there have to be circumstances that it makes sense. We're under attack. War is imminent. We're unleashing nuclear weapons in a limited manner because of a specific threat. And so there are protections. And so the fear of a president, more Nixon, by the way, than Trump, sort of going out of his mind, because the whole system is anticipating that a president, a single person, could go nuts, could be under pressure, could become mentally ill, could become so squirrely no one knows what the hell he's doing. Certainly that was Nixon. Henry Kissinger talked about how Nixon was ranting and raving during his last days. And do you know who created the football and the entire system? JFK, John F. Kennedy. Because prior to the whole system of the football, it could have been a president, and in those days, Khrushchev of the Soviet Union, individually making an order to unleash. And that scared JFK to death, thinking that two guys can decide the fate of humanity. And he said, no, we're not going to let that happen. And here's an interesting side note. And that biscuit that we're talking about, the code authentication, the president has to have with him at all times in his pocket. Clinton lost his for months, couldn't figure out where it was. When Reagan was shot, They put the biscuit into a bag along with his clothes and other personal items, his watch, his rings, et cetera, because they take, obviously he was going to surgery and then you can't take anything with you, so they bag it all up. Later on, it was found in a bag along with his other personal items. There are some great stories about that, but don't be worried that a president going nuts on you is about to launch a nuclear war. That is not going to happen. Nations are learning how to deal with COVID, and how are they learning? This is kind of interesting because, well, COVID has just become part of our day-to-day lives and how our country's dealing with this. I'll share that with you when we come back. KFI AM 640, Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, July 22. There are three rescue missions in L.A. All three are privately funded, alcohol and drug free, and the goal is to get people off the street permanently. The Union Rescue Mission, the Midnight Mission, the Los Angeles Mission all offer safe shelter, provide support, training, other services to get people to get their lives back. And now through August 8th, KFI and iHeartMedia L.A., along with Albertsons, Vaughn's, raising money to support those three L.A. missions. Please donate. At the checkout before August 8th at L.A. County Albertsons, Vaughn's, Pavilions, or text HELP L.A. to 24725, 243725. That's HELP L.A. or HELPLA. No, it's just HELP L.A. to 243725. Go online to KFIAM640.com/missions for more information. Be part of the heart of L.A. and help those who are lost become found. Okay, did it. COVID. It's kind of hard not to go back to COVID virtually every day. And, well, what's going on around the world? England has removed nearly all restrictions. Germany allowing vaccinated people to travel without quarantines. Mask mandates are gone in Italy. Shopping malls are still open in Singapore. And what's happening all over the world and all over the U.S. is businesses and life are becoming more and more open. Mask mandates are gone. We're certainly not going to go to proof of vaccination. None of that. And this is happening while the Delta variant is raging across the country. Oh, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get far worse. Now, the good news for those of us who are vaccinated, if we get it, it's going to be very mild. Most of us will be asymptomatic or get a very mild version. Those people in the hospital and those people who have died since the beginning of June, virtually everyone, we're talking about 99%, have been unvaccinated. And that is a problem. Now, here's the good news, is those people who have not been vaccinated, they're the ones that are going in the hospital and dying, which means my family, me, my friends, everybody I know, we're all vaccinated and that ain't going to happen to us. And then you have southern states, you have Missouri, you have Tennessee, you have Louisiana, where a small percentage, way under 50%, in some cases 30% of the people have been vaccinated, which means that 70% of the people are susceptible to the Delta variant, which, by the way, is absolutely traveling through that population. It is, we think, more virulent, and we know it is more transmissible. I mean, it goes fast, and it is hitting those people big time. And finally, we're getting to the point where those who are anti-vax are turning around and going, okay, let's look at the reality here. Maybe vaccinations are a good idea. Sean Hannity, for example, on Fox, changed his tune. Now, he didn't say go out and get vaccinated, but he said COVID is very serious. You have to take it seriously. Go to your doctor now and ask about vaccinations. And what doctor is going to say no? You've got DeSantis of Florida, the governor, get vaccinated. where before his entire mantra was no masks, no forcing of vaccinations. And you have people on anti-vax people still on the far right somehow are conflating the government going door to door saying, here's a vaccination, here's what's important. And somehow that equates with taking away guns and controlling. I mean, those are the crazy people. And so you're going to see a whole bunch of people change their tune as more and more people are, in fact, becoming vaccinated. And those, and you're going to see some big numbers, hospitalization and deaths among non-vaccinated people. So what's going on throughout the world? Well, here's what's probably going to happen. We're just going to have to live with it. COVID is simply going to be part of our lives. Now, we were able to eliminate certain diseases. I mean, SARS, I think, disappeared. Certainly, polio has disappeared, been eradicated. Smallpox has been eradicated. Will COVID ever be eradicated? No, because too many people are unvaccinated. I mean, when polio, when the vaccine first came out, every kid got vaccinated. Nobody said no. And when kids before going to elementary school, even kindergarten, have to get their MMR shots, measles, mumps, rubella, or else you're not going to school. Now, how many parents out there are saying, it's our business, no one can tell us what to do? Well, the schools do tell you what to do. They're telling you, you want your kid to go to public or private school, your kid's going to be vaccinated. The only way out of this one is to homeschool. Well, how many kids you think are homeschooled, even among the non-vax people? Not that many. So somehow it's okay for forcing kids to become vaccinated, but it's not okay for adults to become vaccinated. And then we go down to simply private business. You can't discriminate against me. Oh, yes, I can. All day long. See that sign over there? It says no shirt, no service. See that sign over there that says we can kick you out for any reason? Is that discrimination? You betcha. Is it illegal discrimination? No. We can discriminate all day long as long as it's not protected classes, race, religion, gender. Those are protected classes. Those you can't discriminate, but not being vaccinated? Oh, yeah, all day long. If I had my druthers, if I had a business, I'd make you show me your vaccination records, not just say, oh, yeah, I'm vaccinated. And so what's going to happen around the world as businesses open up? Well, the country is simply going to live with it. And the problem is that we're going to live with it like we have the flu, and we'll probably have COVID season. And unfortunately, let's look at the stats. 40,000 people die every year because of the flu in the United States. In 1 year, in the U.S., 600,000 people died of COVID. You want to live with that? Then stay non-vaccinated. You know, that's up to you. Just stay away from me. Well, I have a right to do that. You know, you can't be around me. Why? Well, because as I said earlier, if you're unvaccinated, you're a petri dish for another variant coming in. And you may have a variant or create a variant because this virus mutates that, in fact, is resistant to my vaccination. Man, that's the last thing I want you to be is around me or in my business. Coming up, let's have fun. Dead people. I love stories about dead people. And this is a different spin on dead people. Dead people buried in the ocean, but it's a whole different world down there. Goodbye, stranger. It's been nice. And good morning, Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, July 22, as we finish the show. And I want to talk about death. God, I love talking about death. More yours than mine, but it's just a topic that I just enjoy. And we, as Americans, are not good at death. We're really not. We don't deal with it well. It's super expensive to bury someone. And so death has changed. Well, the death part hasn't changed, but how to deal with dead people has changed here in the United States. It used to be it was only burials, and good God, mortuaries and cemeteries used to make a fortune. They'd force you to buy the casket at their price. You'd buy a $4,000 casket that they bought for $200, no exaggeration. And then that all changed, where now you can bring in your own casket. When my father died, I went to the cemetery, actually the mortuary, and they tried to sell me a casket, and that was a Jewish casket with just a pine box for $1,100. I said, no, you don't understand. That decimal is in the wrong place. But no, that's what we charge. So I threatened to go to Costco, which sells caskets, by the way, at a very reasonable price. And so the cemetery, the mortuary matched that. So that's one of the changes where you can bring in your own casket. Another change is simply how people are buried, because we have the green movement. And so there's a movement where you're buried in the ground without a casket, although that's more difficult, or to be put in a compost heap for real, where you just become composted like everything else that's thrown in there, banana peels, eggshells, parts of vegetables that you've cut and not used. And so that's kind of fun. And then there is something, there's a company called Eternal Reefs, was started in 1998. What it does is create concrete reef balls that take your ashes, because you have to be cremated first, cremains, what they call them, and take small personal items of yours, a ring or a little bracelet or whatever, and then incorporate them into these concrete balls that weigh anywhere from 600 to 4,000 pounds and require a crane, by the way, to be transported. And what they do is they take this concrete ball with your ashes in it and then drop it off into the ocean and create artificial reefs, which are great for the fish. And it's just weird for you. Now, there are all kinds of regulations in terms of carrying ashes, et cetera. Yeah, but you know what people do? They just, put your whatever loved one's ashes into a Ziploc bag, throw them in a suitcase, and off they go. This is all death care products, services, and the environmental movement, all melded into one sort of industry, if you will. It's the green burial industry. And man, it is growing like crazy. Coffins made of mushrooms, which I assume are mashed up in some kind of resin, or maybe just mushrooms glued together. Water-based cremation. Water and chemicals break down the body, as opposed to the normal cremation, which is, not very environmentally friendly. I mean, it takes, when you burn up a body, it is some very heavy BTUs for a fairly long time. I mean, hundreds of thousands of BTUs, and it goes on for at least an hour while you're crisping up a body, barbecuing it, if you will. And so this is kind of neat. It is just another way of dealing with dead people. Well, we'll talk about it more, because I love the way different cultures did deal with dead people. The Irish, plop the dead person on a coffin on a couple of 2x4 sawhorses, and everybody gets drunk and dances around and sings Danny Boy around the dead body in the living room. We don't do that. All right, everybody, we're done. First show back. Goodbye to John Ramirez. It's his last day. John has gotten a better job. He has, it's more money, and it is just more opportunity. He's going to be working at a Starbucks as a barista. And so goodbye to John, and he's off to Disneyland to celebrate. Tyler Whitman is now taking his place. And so we go on with the show. I'll be back tomorrow. Coming up, Gary and Shannon, Handle in the Morning Crew. Well, the Modified Morning Crew tomorrow. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.